Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is one of my favorite episodes. We have with us Jill Peck. She is the president of the Atlanta chapter of NABO. Welcome, Jill.
Thank you so much. Very glad to be here. Hello, Lee.
If you would, please share a little bit about NABO. What does it stand for, and what are you guys doing for folks? Or ladies would be more appropriate, I guess.
Yes. Well, there are a couple gentlemen we do things for as well, but we are the National Association of Women Business Owners, founded in 1975. And our organization is very unique in that we are national and that we cross all areas of business. So we're not specific to an industry, and that really makes us unique. Our mission is to strengthen the wealth-creating capacity of our members and to promote economic development and to create innovative and effective change in the business culture. And we do help build strategic alliances, coalitions, and affiliations, and transform public policy, which is on top of everybody's mind these days, and really try to have an influence on opinion makers. So what we have coming up is really on a monthly basis, we have a luncheon that we host at the Georgian Club.
Is that in the same place every month?
That is in the same place every month, and that our next luncheon will be on May 14th. We also have a breakfast forum that we have created. I think we're in probably our fourth month of that now, maybe fifth. And that happens at the beginning of May, which is May 1st, will be our next. It's a Friday morning from 7:30 to 9. And that is hosted by one of our corporate partners, Barnes Thornburg, an attorney's office law firm here in town. And finally, the other event that we do on a regular basis is our National Networking Night, and we will have that on May 26th. So those are sort of this is what we do every month. And one of the most exciting things we're doing, and I think I've said this before, we're not quite ready to reveal exactly when, but at the end of August, early September, we are going to be celebrating NABO's 40th anniversary.
Wow.
Which is a big deal.
That is a big deal. And who have you brought with you today?
Thank you for asking. So I have two wonderful women from our board of directors. First, I have a past president with me who really kind of keeps me going in my presidency as well, Linda Hughes.
Hello. Welcome.
Yes. Hello, Linda. And I also have Grace Webster. And Grace, tell where you're from because I always mess up the name.
Oh, the name of my firm?
Yes.
Yes. I'm a relationship manager at Credit Suisse.
Credit Suisse. It's Suisse.
Very classy.
It is, because it's very Swiss. And I really always want to say Seuss, like as in doctor, but it's a whole other.
Or Swiss Miss. We get that too.
Yes, Swiss Miss. So there you go. So I'm really excited that they're here today. And I think I mentioned, I thought it might be nice to hear a little bit about the stories of the women of NABO. And so I can't think of anybody better to tell than members of the board who are really involved in the organization, not only personally as a business owner, but also professionally as a board member. So I don't know if you...
All right. Who do you want to start with? Linda, she's a veteran. That way Grace can see her in action.
Yeah. Well, we will start with Linda because Linda, she's so entertaining for all of you listeners out there. But she's got a great story. She is what we call a corporate refugee. So we're proud to have her in the organization because she was out there in the big leagues and started out on her own. So,
all right, Linda, why don't you share a little bit about your backstory and then how you got involved in NABO?
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks for having me today. My backstory, I graduated with an engineering degree, and I started work for a company on a Monday, and they sent me on a business trip. And on Friday, while I was on the trip, they said, "Hey, we've been bought." So I said, "Okay, welcome to corporate America. This is what happens, right?" But I stuck with corporate America, and I worked for about I'm not going to count the number of years. Y'all will start doing the math. But for quite a few years, well over a decade, in corporate America. And I really enjoyed it. And it was great. And I got to see the world. And I rose through the ranks. And I got to the point that my next step there was going to be a global position. And it looked like, for me, it was all politics. And I wasn't really interested in that. And so I left there and went to a consulting company and ran their practice. And grew that company. We grew tremendously during the time I was there. And then I kind of got an offer I couldn't refuse, so I went back to corporate America again. And at that point, it was right around 2008. Y'all might have remembered that wasn't the best economic time this country has seen lately. So wound up deciding I needed to leave there, and I thought, you know what? Enough of this. I'm going to take control of my own destiny. I'm going to stop counting on other companies to employ me. And I just decided I would start my own business. And so I started the Great Ridge Company. And the Great Ridge Company is a management and technology consulting company. And we sort of focus on turnarounds, helping companies get back on track, helping big projects get back on track. And someone told me, they actually introduced me as the person who came in and got everything out of the way so things could flow smoothly. And I said, so I guess I'm a corporate plumber. Is that what you're telling me? So anyway, that's how I found myself to my own business. And my my father had always owned his own business, so I was sort of used to that, the world. And, you know, I loved corporate America, but I really enjoy having my own business. So when I started the business, I said, well, how am I going to get out there, and who might I need to network with, and how will I learn more about what it means to have your own business now? My dad started his business in like 1959, which is a totally different world than we live in today. And so I said, well, what do I need to do? And I started looking around at different organizations, and that's how I found NABO. And what I liked about NABO was it wasn't a, you know, sewing circle. It was a business-focused organization and all about helping women grow their businesses. And so that's how I got involved originally.
Now, your background was in information technology?
The majority of my background in information technology. And then when I went to another consulting company, I sort of started getting into more company operations and that sort of thing.
So what was it like being in that world where it's a heavily male-dominated world?
Yeah, and you've noticed that I might have a little gray hair. Yes, it was definitely heavily male-oriented at the time when I got into it. It didn't really bother me much because I've just sort of always ignored that and just sort of carved my own path anyway. But it was very heavily male-oriented. And actually, when I got into the consulting world, it was more male-dominated even than IT was.
What, did that surprise you?
It did. I wasn't expecting that. I thought it would be kind of more balanced because it was all areas of business that this company addressed. They addressed, you know, financials and HR and all kinds of things. But still, the leadership of most consulting companies is heavily male-oriented. So that totally surprised me. And once again, I, you know, never really felt that as an issue, but I know some of the other women that I worked with definitely did have difficulties with that. And so I always enjoy working with people and mentoring them. And I started working with some of the women there to help them figure out how to get along in that world and not have issues.
What were some of your tips and tricks, some pro tips to navigate that world?
Well, and I'm sitting here grinning because unfortunately the one that comes to mind may not be the best tip, but I'll tell the story anyway. So there was a woman who worked there who was very, very good at what she did. She had all the qualities they needed for the executive team. But at the risk of being totally inappropriate, she dressed.
Oh, no.
Yes, I know. She dressed a little too much like she was a housewife. And I don't think you have to dress, you know, any particular way, but it didn't come off as I'm a business person. It came off as I just dropped the kids off and I'm going to hurry through and then I got to go pick them up again. Just something about her attire. And I had said something to the men, and I said, well, what do you think it'll take to get her promoted to the next level? And they said, well, you know, I don't know. I said, let me just take a guess. Has it got to do with how businesslike she looks? Exactly. You go tell her. Great. I'd love to go tell her. So that was one of the things that was interesting. And then the other was just, you know, stating your opinion confidently. Just because they're men doesn't mean they're any smarter or any better or any more informed. And when you state your opinions in a confident way, as opposed to a submissive, well, I'm going to say this and hope you like it way, you get a lot further. And so really helping women figure out how to speak confidently has always been a good part of getting ahead in a male world.
I have a question for Linda.
Am
I allowed to ask a
Absolutely.
Question?
Absolutely. This Do is I your show. Answer? This is your episode.
It's our episode. We're all in it together. So my question is about your education, because you graduated from Georgia Tech, mm-hmm. and back in the day, Georgia Tech was, not that your day was so far back, certainly don't mean
when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
But I wonder if being in that environment helped contribute to working easily in a male-dominated environment.
I think it was a combination of things. I think a lot of it had to do with my parents and how they chose to raise me. And my parents were, and I say were only because my father passed away. My mother is still around, so sorry, Mom. My parents are very much about, they figured out early on there were three children in the family that each of us needed to be raised differently. And for me, they raised me in a way that I was always very independent. And I actually went to work with my father. I was 6 years old, and he had me standing behind an auto parts counter, and in come all these greasy, you know, shade tree mechanics, mm-hmm. and they're coming in, and all these men are like, I need a gasket for my 57 Chevy. And the guy behind the counter points to me and says, get him a gasket. And they all go, what are you talking? She can't. He's like, just wait. She'll do it. Mm-hmm. And they had taught me how to go through the book, read it, figure it out. I'd say, it's this one. I'd call the professional guy over. I'd say, is that right? He'd say, yep, go get it. I'd run off into the... I didn't even realize I was working. I thought I was having a good time, right? So I think all along, they just set up an environment where it was okay for me to do whatever I wanted to do. And it was okay to excel in all areas of life. And I think it never occurred to me that it wasn't. And so I didn't have some of the hurdles that a lot of women have trying to adjust.
So no one told you couldn't do something.
That's
exactly
right.
So you didn't think, hey, I can do anything, right?
Exactly. So I just came, you know.
Made perfect sense.
That combined with my natural bossiness, and we were good to go.
Thank you.
That's a great story. And that's a good lesson also is, like you said, is being confident and acting like, you know, that's no big deal. We've done this before. That goes a long way in the world.
Yeah. And when I was in high school, I remember that everybody had to have hall passes, right? You had to have mm-hmm. a hall pass to go to the bathroom, a hall pass to do this. And somebody would say, let's go do something. I'd say, okay. And I'd just go, wait, we need a pass. Nah, act like you're supposed to be there and nobody will say a word. And we would just walk along and nobody said anything. So.
That's a great lesson for everybody.
I think it's a good segue, into grace. I'm curious to know, as you're just coming out, you know, into your profession, and talk a little bit about why you chose the profession that you have, because some think that's male-dominated, and then just a little bit about NABO. But let's start with your profession and what you're doing and why you chose it.
Sure. Thanks, Jill. There's a lot of similarities and parallels between my story and Linda's story, but there's also several divergences mm-hmm. That I think we'll see as I share a little bit. So I have a background in public policy analysis. I have a public policy degree from University of North Carolina, and right out of college, I said, get me to D.C. as fast as I can, because that's what you do with public policy degree. So I went up to D.C., worked in public policy for a number of years, and then in November 2008, decided to get into nonprofit fundraising. And as the market crashed shortly thereafter, nonprofit fundraising became a much more challenging career than I thought it would be. But it was a really great opportunity to learn relationship management. A lot of our large donors, individual and foundations, said, I'm sorry, we support your cause, but we can't contribute this year. We can't support you financially. A lot of our donors, I was working at a women's healthcare nonprofit. A lot of our donors were women who didn't understand their finances. Their financial advisor, you know, had taken control of their portfolio and they hadn't been involved in a lot of that decision making. And they were now literally up the creek without a paddle. And I worked with these women and these foundations over the course of the next few years. And I said, you know what? I can do this. And I can do this better than your current financial advisor is doing. So I left the public policy world and went to business school. So I got my MBA at Duke. So undergrad at North Carolina, graduate degree at Duke. I'm very much a Carolina Tar Heel, if that's the next question. Go Heels. Also proud to be a national champion this year. Go Duke.
You win it every way.
every way I win. I also lose every management and am now here as a relationship manager at Credit Suisse, where I work with individuals, families, and institutions on wealth management strategies.
And then, so how does your public policy background help you in your job?
I think that one of the secret sauces to being a really good investment manager is being able to see the big picture, understanding what's going on with the financial and regulatory environment. In this particular finance environment, I think it's one of the most heavily regulated and restricted governments that we're dealing with ever. So being aware of what's going on in politics, what does it mean when a bill is being proposed, who are the key players to be keeping track of is really important to be able to monitor where my clients are and what they need to be worrying about.
Now, is part of your job getting new clients, or are you working with existing clients?
I do all of it. So even though I do work for a global business firm, I am essentially a solo practitioner. So mm-hmm. I'm in charge of all the day-to-day decisions, business development, marketing, client relationship management and servicing, meeting with vendors, choosing products and services and investment options for my clients. It's a one-woman show.
So now, taking on that role, was that very different for you in that now it's kind of like an eat what you kill world?
It is. Coming from working in a women's reproductive healthcare nonprofit to now working in investment management for a global firm is definitely a big shift. But I think that the core skills that I've learned are the same overall. Being able to ask someone meaningful questions to move the relationship forward, me being able to foster trust in a compassionate relationship with somebody so that they'll open up to you and give you the confidence that you need to make the decisions to help them achieve their goals.
Now, what was the hardest part for making the transition from the nonprofit world to the for-profit world?
I think going from nonprofit to for-profit is definitely the biggest challenge. Going from a company or an organization where the goal is to make the world a better place, and now the goal is to let's make some revenue and increase the bottom line.
Well, you're trying to make the world a better place for your clients.
Of course, of course. As long as their world is a better place, my world is definitely a better place.
So has that been difficult, like to have these kind of sales conversations with people?
No. I don't think that the sales conversation is particularly challenging for me. I think that having the confidence to assert myself in the investment field has probably been the biggest challenge. I had no finance background until I went to business school.
Right.
So being able to confidently say, this is where I think you should put your money, this is what I think you need to do, that was definitely a big challenge.
So how'd you get over that hump?
I found really good mentors, and I talked to plenty of people who said, you can do this. You belong here. You should sit at the table just as much as everybody else deserves to sit here at the table. And also just tapping into some of my own unique capabilities and skills. I was hired for a reason. People like me for a reason, and that's different than the person sitting next to me and the person down the hall. So just to rely on what do I do and what do I know that I know how to do, that's what's been
to
successful
kind of
so
trust
far.
Trust your secret sauce.
Exactly. Exactly.
So now how did you find Nabu?
So when I moved to Atlanta about a year ago and I started in my office, there are very few women in my office and very few women financial advisors in the industry overall.
Really?
Yes. And I knew that I needed to find a group of motivated, business-oriented, decision-maker women. I've been to several organizations, and if someone tells me to lean in one more time, I just can't do it.
You're so done leaning.
I'm done leaning. I've leaned in far enough. So I literally just did a Google search of Atlanta women business owners, Atlanta women entrepreneurs, and NABO was the first organization that came up.
Good for you, Jill.
How lucky are we after listening to this one? I see Grace as a future NABO president. Can I just say that publicly? Such a wide skill set, really, mm-hmm. and an advocator. We were so excited that she called us and came aboard, and we got her literally on the board as quickly as we could. And she's already been a huge asset.
So the group has met your expectations?
They have. They really have. I love that it's a group of women who make the decisions for their mm-hmm. business. When we have conversations, it's business-oriented conversations. It's on networking with centers of influence. We talk about having difficult conversations with clients on how to maximize your bottom line, marketing strategies. It's not really a work-life balance, although that, you know, that certainly is a part of some of the conversations, but that's not the focus. And that's what I'm looking for, is a place to grow my business, talk shop, and just get the insights and experiences of women who have been there before, who have succeeded, who have failed, and have something to share with others.
And you get some of that public policy in there, too.
And you do, exactly.
So that's like the cherry on top.
Exactly.
So, Jill, now that you have somebody new into the group, so how do you help them integrate themselves so they get the most out of it?
Do you mean on the board or just in the...
Or just like you have Grace, that she's kind of new to business, new to Atlanta. She joins the group. How do you help her get the most out of it?
You know, Grace doesn't really need a lot of help. She's kind of independent that way. What I'll say that Grace has done really well is get in there and participate. And so she's just been at every event. She comes and she's there. And so because she's done that, I think that the reward for that is meeting people and sort of getting the value from her membership, if you will, just mm-hmm. just by being there. I think a lot of times people join an organization and they think that, well, what's it going to do for me?
Right. I wrote them a check. So
what are they
doing?
The
business going to start flowing my way, right?
Right. And so we're not at all a networking group. That is not what the organization was formed for. I know I've said this before, but what drew me to NABO was just learning about that HR 5050 bill that 13 NABO women helped get passed, signed by Ronald Reagan, which... It said a lot of things, but among them, and the most simplest is that a woman could go and get financial support in the way of a loan and sign for herself without the need of a male relative to sign for her. And that just, I don't
know.
Kind of
blows your mind.
It still blows my mind, because that was during the time that I was out working and in the man's world when I, you know, was coming into it out of college, and I had no idea. You know, I was working for other people, so I had no idea. I didn't need a loan, so why would I know that?
Right.
But to learn that and say, wow. So the organization by default provides relationships or the opportunity to build relationships. And from there, it's really about that finding business, you know, because they say friends do business with friends. But I was looking at something that we got a bunch of testimonials from women across the country. And one of the ladies was talking about when she goes to NABO to an event, she has a financial advisor, a stockbroker, someone who does retirement planning, a lawyer, someone who's in health insurance, on and on and on. And you're surrounded by women, as I said, of all different industries that are business owners and that can lend support, and they're coming at it from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. So when we're all in the same business and we're a financial planner and we're the Association of Financial Planners or whatever, we're coming at this from the same perspective. And so I'm in marketing, you know, you're in engineering and consulting, you're in finance, and we're all doing our own thing, and we bring different skill sets, you know, to the table.
So now, Grace, for you, you've been part of the group for a little bit now. Has it been a year, or it's coming up on a year?
I think I've officially been a NABO member for about 5 months.
Okay, so 5 months. Now, if you were giving advice to somebody that's considering joining different groups, this one, obviously, it resonated with you. Can you share some maybe best practices that helped you kind of integrate yourself in the group and get the most out of it?
Sure. I think that one of the biggest things that I did to really integrate myself into the group was to just say yes. That, yes, I will go get coffee with you. Yes, I will serve on the board of directors with you. Yes, I would love to help plan the 40th anniversary celebration. I'm doing all of those things. But it's a great way to meet with people outside of the formal events that we do and mm-hmm. get a sense of what is your business, you know, philosophy? What is your approach to business? What's your background? And why is this organization important to you? And through doing that, I've learned a lot of insights about many different industries and companies that I wasn't really familiar with before, but now I feel very comfortable talking about elder care and IT outsourcing and all types of human resources consulting that I didn't really know about before.
And it helped you build maybe your Rolodex of resources?
Absolutely. And I've already made several relationships through NABO that have really helped me build my business and just served as extra resources in my arsenal as I've been able to go out and work in business development.
Now, Linda, have you found that to be the case where that, you know, you start going to the meetings, you start meeting the people, working with the people, all of a sudden it's logical that they become other people that you work with, you know, for other services, right?
Right. Yes. And I've actually one of the things that I do with my business is I use a lot of other businesses, and we'll do a corp to corp arrangement. And that way I don't have to carry all the employee load. And there's a lot of people out there who only want to run small businesses and need help finding business and that sort of thing. And actually what I've done quite a bit of is actually pull those people into NABO, because I'll say, you know what, you need to get involved in NABO because you need to meet these other people that I'm meeting with that can also help your business grow. Sometimes through a direct, you know, client, you know, I get you engaged with a client, but other times just through learnings. We've had quite a few good members that have a lot of financial background. And that's one area a lot of business owners struggle with, is really what does that financial statement mean? I'm so happy my, you know, tax accountant or my CFO provides it, but I have no clue
right,
what I'm supposed
quarter.
To do with it.
Wow, right? What a great folder of information. Let me put this somewhere that I won't look at again.
Exactly, yeah, and hope it doesn't become something that bites me in the rear because I didn't deal with it, you know?
Right.
And so you sit it over there, but a lot of people don't understand it. So by having these other people available, even as Grace said, you know, go to coffee, and let me buy you lunch. I want to ask you a question about this. What does this mean? Do I want that number to be bigger or smaller? Because I'm not sure, you know, but I know it needs to change. So there's a lot of opportunity to have those kinds of relationships and those kinds of discussions.
Now, Jill, you mentioned that this isn't a networking group, but it seems like you can build, you kind of have access to great resources in the group just by being part of it and participating in it.
Absolutely. But I think versus networking, and maybe I just don't really know what networking is, because to me, it's kind of a dirty word. You know, you go, you hand out as many cards as you
right.
can, like sort of the old. And so when you're involved in an organization, some of the same people come to everything, but there's new people. And there are some people that aren't even members that will come and check us out.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always having the opportunity to meet new people. And then the people that are there that you're seeing to build relationships with. And as I said, I think, so by default, it's networking, but it's because you're building a relationship. Because women don't just, it's not about just, oh, you know, you can help me, I can help you,
right?
Kind of a thing. It's well, you know, where do you come from? Who are you? What are you? And how can I best suit you? And it just comes over time, I think, with relationships.
And it seems very organic. It's not
forced. It's not forced at all. And I think that's what's important. You're not standing up and, you know, like at a leads
group.
You
feel obligated. I got to bring leads and, you know.
Yeah, it's more about giving back. I was pointing to Linda because I know that's also a big part of where she is in her life. Let me not speak for you, but I know, you know, for me, in the role that I am in now, I've had more of an opportunity to connect people. And I love that. It serves me personally just because I'm helping other people and like, oh, this person could help you with your business and so forth and so on. And you're seeing, the relationships flourish from a personal standpoint, but even more importantly from a business standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
Yeah. And I do think the networking is a byproduct of our group, a very important byproduct and a very beneficial byproduct. But there are other groups, their sole purpose is to network. And so you kind of come at the meetings with a different mindset, right?
Right. It's more transactional in those cases where this is more relationship driven and you kind of have a bigger mission. You know,
right.
There's a public policy element. There's
an educational. That's exactly right. You're coming to learn.
Right.
At our monthly luncheons for sure. I mean, it's about education. And so you're coming to learn something that either a topic that you do know about and you may get a little nugget, or that you know nothing about and that you need to know. So I think that is an important piece of our secret sauce mm-hmm. that maybe a leads group or just purely networking
right.
doesn't have.
Now, before we go, I'd like to give each of you a chance to share a little bit about your company and then, you know, talk about what makes you guys different and special. So, Linda, why don't we start with you and talk about Great Ridge?
So, First of all, what makes it different and special is me, of course. No.
There's no lack of confidence with Linda Hughes. That's been established.
Yes. I looked up humility once and I gave up on that. But anyway, I'm totally kidding. So Great Ridge is a company that helps other companies grow. And that's my whole objective and why I started it. I had worked for all these companies. I'd worked for large companies. I'd worked with smaller companies. I'd worked with companies where I was, you know, employee number 30 and grew it to be, you know, employee number 250 when I left. And I just really enjoy helping other people's companies grow. And, of course, as a byproduct, mine will grow. But I didn't start Great Ridge to be the next big, huge consulting company. I started it to be a smaller consultancy that would never get very large, that would really engage with their clients and help them grow and realize value. And that's what I really enjoy doing. And whether that's launching a new line of business for someone or just helping them with their operations or linking up their IT with everything else going on, that's what's really, really fun to do. And I think the true secret sauce is really in taking all of that knowledge from years and years at the corporate level and knowing how to scale it and make it apply to any size business in any industry. And so that's what we really specialize in.
Now, what's the pain a prospective client is having so they should call you?
Call me if you've got an effort, either it's an entire company or a project or department that's, you know, in the ditch, not where you need it to be. How do I get this thing turned around and functioning and adding value to the organization? That's where you call
me. So like if somebody, like right now, Google's doing something that penalizing websites that aren't mobile friendly, if they needed help in that, or is that
it could be it could be that it could be we launched this major initiative and it was supposed to grow our business and it's just not working. Nobody's buying it. Why isn't anybody buying it? What did we miss? We launched this thing, we thought it was gonna be great, we're losing money on every sale. What can we do different? How do we turn this around and get it going in the direction we need it going?
And then your website?
The website is greatridgecompany, all spelled out, .com.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
And Grace, you?
Yes. So as I said, I am a relationship manager at Credit Suisse here in the Atlanta office. I provide investment management services for high net worth individuals, families, and institutions. Investment management services includes portfolio management, trust and estate planning, lending, life insurance, strategic philanthropy, and anything else that our clients need. I particularly really like to focus on socially responsible investing, coming from a nonprofit background. So I really enjoy working with individuals who are interested in doing something more with their money than just making a financial return, whether that's donating to a charity, a nonprofit of their choice, setting aside money in a donor advised fund or a foundation to help them achieve some of their broader goals in life.
Now, in your case, aren't most of your clients with somebody currently?
I think it depends. I think a lot of people do have some sort of relationship, but a lot of people just have money in the bank and they're not quite sure what to do with it, especially with a lot of women entrepreneurs and a lot of women investors. They might be scared to ask, what do I do with my money? Afraid that they will come off as looking like they don't know how to talk about money. I have conversations with my mother all the time. She says, Grace, what's a stock and what's a bond? Can you tell that? Tell me what the difference is. And like I said before, ask questions. It's okay to, you know, if you don't know, raise your hand and ask. And there are lots of ways to figure out what to do with your money and make it work for you.
And then what's the best way for someone to get a hold of you?
Sure. Best way to get a hold of me, my direct line is 404-897-4773.
And then the website?
www.creditsuisse, C-R-E-D-I-T,
-suisse.com. And then they can just search for your name, Grace Webster.
Correct.
Good stuff. All right, Jill, give your Henderson Shapiro a plug.
Henderson Shapiro Peck, we're a marketing support company, and we really do everything from help startups get a marketing plan written and executed through corporate support, where we're helping companies that have internal marketing departments, but they have programs that are too large or time frames are too short to get out. So they're contracting our team to come in and sort of be their extension of their department, if you will. And so what I think that we do, you talk about giving back, is we're giving back to our team because we're teaching them and mentoring them
to be able to run their own little businesses within ours, their accounts.
Right.
And we're helping our clients solve problems and make them look really, really good. So although it's not rocket science and we're not saving lives, we're helping people have a better day because they hit their deadline.
That's right. Less stress.
Absolutely. And so you can reach us. HendersonShapiro.com is the best way to look us up and see what we're about. And if you need to get something out and you need it done right and you need it done well and quick, really, can you do that? It's true. We can. So call us.
And one last time for people who are wanting more information about NABO website.
www.naboatlanta.org.
And then the next event is what?
The next big event is our luncheon on May 14th.
All right.
So please come out and support us at the Georgian Club.
Now, do they have to be a member to attend that first one, or do they have to contact you to get invited?
You do not have to be a member. You can simply go to the website, and you will see events, and you can sign up there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for putting this show together, Jill.
Well, thank you for having us, Lee. We love being here, and we hope you invite us back.
Absolutely. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. This is Lee Cantor. See you next time.